flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Brian Baldinger joins us. Baldy, how you doing, bud?
Good morning, Joe. I'm doing good. Good to be with you here, buddy.
Well,
you had a good vacation, a little break, whatever.
I did. I went out and spent a little time with my father, just for the record. He's out there by himself, so I did, and had a chance to watch everything going on. But I'll tell you what, you talk about a league that doesn't sleep. It's a busy, crazy time. I got to ask you about what's going on here in South Florida. The Tyreek Hill stuff, with not going out of the game in the fourth quarter. Now we're finding out the late and leaves early and all the other things, and Mike's talking about – I'm just curious. They're talking about – I see all this speculation from everybody nationally. I don't think they're letting him go. He's too damn good to let go. What's your take on Tyreek Hill and his future here in South Florida?
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to have a separate set of rules for one player and a set of rules for everybody else. That's hard. But I do know that if you're a superstar, you got to coddle these guys to some degree. You can't just let these guys walk. They change the game. Me and you, Joe, we were like, you know, we were mercenaries. We were happy to work and we did everything
right.
We were supposed to do. But we didn't change the game, Joe. You know, we didn't change the game on Sunday. We helped, but we didn't change it. He changes the game. So there's got to be, but you know, discipline is a part of these teams that win, and teams that aren't disciplined and they have these different set of rules for different guys. I mean, do they win championships? I guarantee you Pat Mahomes isn't late to meeting. I guarantee you, Chris Jones is not leaving early. You know, I just don't believe that. I know Andy Reid. There's gotta be a foundation of it's about the team, and the team does things together as a team. And if you're off on your own doing your own thing, that's hard to win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, by the way, and all the stuff. And something needs to be done coming back. Mike's got to have some serious conversations. You can't just find a guy. If that doesn't work, you got to do something else. And as he said, if you're late all the time, then it tells me you don't want to be here. So we'll see what happens. But moving on here, man. I thought it was really interesting with the hirings that just took place. No surprise, both Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson get head coaching jobs. I got to ask you, man, does anybody at the top want this Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville job, or what's your take? Is it that bad a job right now?
Well, it's you gotta figure out what Trent Baalke is. Is he helping your team? Is he building the roster the right way? Because we've seen Trevor now just go backwards. And so is that coaching? Is that the roster around him? What's the issue there? Because there's an issue for sure. But it looks like a pretty incomplete roster. They've changed defensive coordinators. That didn't make one bit of difference. And so, when you start thinking that Robert Saleh is your answer, like, I don't know if they really watched Robert Saleh in New York and how he was game day as a coach. You got to play two games a year over in London. You got to stay over there for 2 weeks.
That's right.
You got to factor that in. That's not easy on any team. But you know, that's part of the plan. Like, Jacksonville's going to play back-to-back games in London every year. And, you know, is that an attractive thing for a head coach?
All right, so I got to ask you why we're moving on here. The Mark Andrews just had, I felt terrible for him. I wasn't one that was going, you know, sitting there and screaming and going to social media to tell me he's a bum. But, boy, a bad fumble and then a worse two-point conversion, which would have tied it up. He drops the ball. Boy, I'll tell you, and of all the guys you just wouldn't expect that to happen to, and I'm not blaming him. I know Lamar Jackson also turned the ball over a few times. What was your take on that? I saw the topics this past week while I was off on Lamar does it again and messes up, and Mark Andrews didn't help him. You can't turn over three times. I know you and I would agree on that, but what was your take on Mark Andrews and what happened on the last two plays?
I remember I played with Mark Bavaro, one of the great tight ends, you know, of our era. And he dropped the pass on Monday night, and he lost the game because of it. And he, you know, before there was social media, he took all the heat. And it wasn't fair because there was all these other plays that could have been made. But he took it hard. Mark's taking it hard, but I wouldn't put it on him. I mean, they missed a two-point conversion earlier to a wide-open Isaiah Likely. And Lamar, the ball got tipped at the line of scrimmage. Stuff happens. Lamar put the ball on the ground. It was a bad fumble. He just dropped the ball. He threw an interception early in the game. There's a miscommunication between him and Rashad Bateman. Bateman's running a seven cut. Lamar's throwing a go route. There's always other plays in the game. It never comes down to one play. I didn't put that on Mark Andrews at all. Would it have been great for us fans and the team if he, you know, was able to get a handle on that two-point conversion at the end? Probably go to overtime, who knows? But, like, it's never one play. And Mark Andrews helped them win a lot of games to get in a position to be where they were. He's been the safety net for Lamar Jackson for six straight years in a row. And he's been a Pro Bowl player for a reason. He's a great player. You know, he had two bad plays in one game, but I don't think that cost him the game.
We're also having this conversation about overprotecting Patrick Mahomes with some of the calls that took place. And I know the Texans were upset with, especially with the flop over on the sideline. There was nothing called on it, but he was trying to draw a penalty. And then the late slides. I am concerned about the late slide. And the two helmets had collided. Actually, one of them wasn't his. It was the two defenders. Are we protecting the top quarterbacks too much, and specifically Patrick Mahomes, in your opinion?
Yeah, we are. And he knows it. That's why he's trying to draw those penalties, Joe. He's not going down. He's faking like he's going down or like he's going out of bounds and he's staying in bounds. Like, you can't. He's taking advantage of the rules. I don't blame him. He's just a crafty player. He's taking advantage of it. I thought the first one, Joe, the one where the two helmets didn't collide, I thought the guy, you know, bumped into his face mask. I thought he barely laid a glove on him. And I took a lot of heat for making that call, but I said it in real time, the way I saw it. Like, I do think, you know, we see Jared Goff get his head taken off by Frank Lugo, and there's no call.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, I do think Patrick is right now trying to take advantage of the rules. And he got two calls. For sure, on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so, like, look, he thinks about all these things. But are they going too far? Yeah, they're going too far, Joe.
Yeah, I am curious to see. And by the way, don't be afraid this week for the Buffalo Bills, like, to worry about Travis Kelce. I don't know how the Texans left him. I don't know if he's ever been that open in his life on so many different plays as Travis Kelce was in that game.
Well, the thing is, Joe, like, the first big catch and run for 49 yards – up their opening touchdown of the game, that's his longest play of the season. So, I mean, there's nobody in the middle of the field except a rookie free safety, and he just juked him and went 49 yards. I mean, I watched him when they played Buffalo the first time, he caught two passes for 10 yards. Like, he was a non-factor completely. Now, I thought the Texans did a terrible job. Even the touchdown where Mahomes is shot putting the ball as he's falling down.
Right.
I mean, there seems to be no sense of where he's at on the field by anybody, and they just let him kind of uncover. I thought it was a bad job on their part.
I thought the secondary for the Texans when they played against the Dolphins, my God, this might be one of the best, and they had, of course, a bunch of interceptions as a group back there anyway, safety and corners. I thought it was one of the best groups I had seen point.
I agree. I say the same thing. In fact, I hit up one of my buddies who's maybe the best talent evaluated in the league. And after they beat the Chargers, and Derek Stingley had two interceptions, and Bullock had one, and Lassiter, and I said, is this the best secondary in football? And I thought it was, especially if they play man coverage. They're excellent. But to watch Kelce have the field day he had, like there's, and that was the only guy that was hurting him. That seemed like that can't happen in that level of game.
Yeah, no. And by the way, if you're going to play zone, if a guy's in your area, it's all right to lock up with him and not just kind of let him freelance behind you. Hey, Jaden Daniels. My God, so good for football. This story, I got a feeling America is going to be rooting for this team outside of Philadelphia Eagle fans. Everybody's going to be rooting for this kid. I can't believe how good he is. You know, it'd be one thing if he's just handing the ball off and they're running for 250 yards. Some of those throws he's making down the field, you've seen a lot more of him. Where do you put him after his rookie year as far as where he ranks, as far as quarterbacks go in this league right now?
We haven't seen anything like it, Joe. I mean, Detroit blitzed him repeatedly, and there was complex blitzes, and he saw him pre-snap or he beat him in real time. It's just amazing how good he is. So I went back and I started just researching Jaden Daniels, you know. Like, he started playing flag football, Joe, when he was five, right? I mean, he was starting on his freshman on his high school team as a freshman. He played 53 games at college. He's a three-year starter at Arizona State. He started as an 18-year-old freshman. He went up to Oregon in his third game of the year and beat the number five ranked team in the country and threw for 400 yards. Like, this isn't anything new to him. It may be new to us because it's the first time we're really watching him, but he is remarkably poised. He is remarkably elusive. I mean, they had a breakdown protection the other day where the defense tackle came right at him. He just juked him like he wasn't there, and then went out and made a play. I mean, the Eagles have their hands full. He was really good against them in both games, including that Week 16 game when he threw the game-winning touchdown pass to Jamison Crowder with 10 seconds to go, and it was an absolute dime. So I think America should root for him because he's just he's Captain America right now. I mean, he really is. He's a superhero.
Yo, Baldy, I'm curious as to your picks this weekend. Who do you think is coming out of these championship games and heading to the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm not going to go against the home teams. I think Philadelphia is better in the trenches than the Commanders are. I would never root against Mahomes and Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo. I've done that before, and I look like a jackass, so I'm not going to do it again. But look, I give both Josh Allen and Buffalo and Jaden Daniels. As fans, I hope we get great games. I hope it comes down to the wire. I hope it goes to overtime. They changed the overtime rule because of Josh Allen losing to Patrick Mahomes 3 years ago. He's 0-3 in the playoffs against Mahomes. Like, is he ever going to beat him? Like, this is, maybe this is the year that they do it. He's not turning the ball over. He's playing great football. He's an MVP candidate. But, to beat the best, you got to beat the best. And so, this is the challenge for both these guys right now.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Brian Baldinger with us this morning. Baldy, I got to ask you, which game? You going to either one of the games, conference games?
I'm not, Joe. I got to do something at the Senior Bowl on and I got to do something Sunday in Nashville. So I'm going to watch it on TV in Nashville, talk about it on Bustin' with the Boys, and head to Mobile for this Senior Bowl thing I got to do down there.
Yeah. Hey, have you had a chance at all look at this quarterback class? Because that obviously is going to once again be a huge topic here on just how many quality quarterbacks are coming out in this draft.
I mean, I've looked at Shador and I've looked at Cam a little bit, Joe. Not the way I will, once I get into March. It doesn't look like any of these guys. I'm not downplaying any of them, but none of them look like Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix even or Caleb. They don't look like they're top five picks, but they're probably going to get taken in the top five because a lot of the teams picking there need quarterbacks. So they're going to get probably taken higher than they need to be, and then we'll just see how they get coached up at this point.
I got to say this. Jaden Daniels has been – well, nobody, I think, thought he's going to be this good. It's crazy what he's doing. He's won two playoff games in his rookie year already. But Bo Nix's story, mean, you look at those final numbers, and I forgot how good a runner. You see him a lot more than we do. What a year. What a year he's had. I mean, I thought he was pushing Jaden Daniels there for best rookie quarterback the way they were playing.
He played great, Joe. And, I mean, honestly, you talk about development. I mean, I watched every one of their games this year and studied them. In the first 2 weeks of the season, he couldn't complete a pass to a wide receiver. Like, it just didn't happen. And then by the end, he's throwing these balls on timing, and he's hitting go routes, and, you know, he's scrambling and finding guys over the middle. I mean, like, Tom Payton did a great job of coaching him up. There, he's throwing to rookies out there. He's throwing to Troy Franklin and Devon Vile and rookies out there. Cortland Sutton was the guy they were trying to chase out of the building. He's completing passes to all those guys to get them in contention and get to the playoffs. I mean, his future is real bright in Denver.
You know, Baldy, you mentioned you've taken a little bit of a look at Cam Ward coming out of Miami. What stands out to you, and are you hearing the same buzz that he's likely to be the first overall pick to Tennessee?
Well, you know, he's got great movement, and he looks like he knows where to put the ball. That's just location. Movement, location kind of stand out. I think – I'm not sure. I like to see these guys throw live. When you see them throw live, you realize, okay, is this Dan Marino or is this some – Fugazi, you know. So I like to see him throw it live. You know, we'll see him at the combine and hopefully, and I'd feel a lot better about his arm if I could make that evaluation. But like he's got good movement. He played a lot of college football. He had a good year at Miami. But I feel like there's a whole lot more evaluation that he's got to go through before we anoint him as the number one pick.
Hey, by the way, before we let you go, I know you've been spending a lot of time around the Jets, and Aaron Glenn gets that job going back home where he was drafted in the first round by the Jets back in 1994. Now, of course, you know, now it turns from one Aaron to the next Aaron. Can you see Aaron Glenn saying, hey, I want to keep Aaron Rodgers?
Well,
would that surprise you? Think it could happen?
I think it can happen. I mean, it's going to cost him a lot of money, whether they release him or they keep him. Either way, it's going to cost him a ton of money. The dead cap space, if you cut him, like the dead cap money is, like, it's worse than what Denver had to go through this year with Russell Wilson. So, and they need a quarterback. Like, they're picking, you know, down in the draft. I mean, three guys could be gone by the time they pick. So they might be, I'm not going to say stuck with him. He played great against the Dolphins in the last game, but it's a decision that I'm sure whoever decides to hire as his offensive coordinator, whoever his general manager is going to be, which is yet to be determined, those are big decisions within that community they got to make pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what happens up there. By the way, if Aaron Rodgers just played against the Dolphins every year, they'd have given him a new 3-year contract the way he played down here and up there. Baldy, thank you, man. Great having you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Okay, Joe. You got it, buddy. Thanks.
Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey in station.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So we got this Jimmy Butler thing, man. Jimmy just, I think he closed the door. I think that was it. He missed the team flight. And he said, of course, right away it comes out like, oh, no, I was just going to meet him up there. And I was going to meet him up there on my own plane and then stay in my own place and hang at the end of the bench like I've been doing and wear my Phoenix Suns basketball shoes. It's crazy. What a crazy story. Been suspended for 2 games. I think that's it, Heat fans. It is time to move on from Jimmy. We'll see what you get back. But I got a feeling this weekend, why would you let him suit up again for you at coming back home after the 2-game suspension? What are you doing? It's awkward for your head coach. The teammates are the ones got to answer all the questions. And I just let him go. Get him out of here. Go. It's fine. I'm not blaming. I'm not one to sit here and go, well, Pat Riley's to blame for whatever. We're done. He checked out. He wanted the extension. He didn't get it, period. That's what this is about. It's about the extension. It's not about hurt feelings that Riley told him to shut up because you weren't playing and talk about teams when you couldn't play to help us beat them. So you're with me on this, right, Dono, or no?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, listen, Jimmy, and it's helping him clearly because he's going to get what he wants, I think. But he's acting like someone who is trying to get fired, and you know, unfortunately, that has an impact on the locker room. It has an impact on the type of basketball you're playing. When you know, if he's not suspended, you feel obligated to play him. It's got an impact on Coach Spo. I mean, when the guy he's missing flights, he's showing up wearing shoes in the color of the team that he wants to get traded to. Yeah, every time I hear, you know, these Shams Charania reports, the word untenable keeps coming up. It's untenable for this guy to play for you. So the Heat have suspended him again, Joe. And, you know, right now I would imagine the phones, you know, at the Heat offices and offices of several other teams are just lighting up throughout the day and through the next couple days. Because I keep seeing now that it may take a 5-team trade to get this worked out with all the salary parameters,
right,
and all the pieces that go into it, that you might have to have 5 teams in this to facilitate this deal that finally gets Jimmy over to Phoenix. But it can't happen soon enough because you can't run a team this way,
no.
Joe. If you've got a guy who is acting like he doesn't want to be there and he's an important part of this locker room, I mean, I'm not saying that these other players on the Heat aren't like strong enough and mature enough to overcome that, but you mentioned it, they're the ones who have to answer to the media about this. Like, it's guys like Tyler Hero and Bam who are getting asked the questions about Jimmy. It's a tremendous distraction, and it would benefit all sides for us to be able to wash our hands of this situation and get him off this team as soon as possible.
Plus, the team has seen the 3 games. He's played like horse crap. The effort has been horse crap.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody going to tell me that, no, it's not him. Because he tried that for a little while. I don't fit into this offense anymore. You know, whatever you want, you just want out. You just want out. Don't try to throw it on anybody else. You want to go play with Durant and Booker, who, by the way, are 21-21 on the season. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But this is an overheard. Only hurt feelings he didn't get the extension. And Riley said, hey, man, you got to play more than what you play. You don't play enough games. We need somebody who can be around. We don't want to be in the 7, 8, or 9 spot and play the play-in friggin' game every year, which, by the way, is looking more and more like that's going to happen. But, I think he finally got himself out of town. Now, the only thing they're guilty of, you treat your best player over the last couple of years with a different set of rules, starting with staying in a different hotel. Well, not staying in a hotel. He goes with his guys and gets his own place. You start a part of this. It'll be a lesson learned, but you start a part of it. And so here we are with all this stuff. And by the way, stop blaming the attorney. His attorney, his job is to take care of Jimmy. I see Drew do the same thing. And Jimmy, who sits there and goes, oh, man, I didn't know about all this stuff, but, man, it's kind of nice everybody's talking about me. Well, that's just a flat-out lie. You know exactly what your attorney's saying on your behalf. You don't think that's been discussed? Jimmy didn't all of a sudden get real stupid on all this stuff. So here we are, man. And I can't. He said we're gonna get the truth from him because everybody's saying all this stuff. Well, I do know one thing: your ass been suspended twice now, disregard of team rules, insubordinate conduct, and conduct detrimental to the team. Man, that's a hat trick right there, brother.
Let me ask you, Joe, how badly is this? Because the bridge is obviously burned right now. You know, in 4 or 5 years, is his jersey number getting hung in the arena? Is he getting his number retired? Because, like, under normal circumstances, he would. He's been a very important part of this franchise. But do you think he's upsetting the franchise so much that they're not going to give him the same treatment that they've given to guys like Shaq and Zoe and Wade and everybody?
It's a great question.
Has he undone that?
So it's a great question. I found out something because right now I go, hell no, that guy going up. But you know what heals everything is time. Father time.
Yeah.
I see Antonio Brown. You ever think he'd go back to the Steelers and he's all excited after stuff he said about his team? We see it everywhere. We see things get patched up. Look at the Shaq stuff, even with the Heat now. Yeah. All that stuff has been patched up. I don't know. You know, there's been some apologies. I could have handled things better. You could have, and we could have. And at the end, everybody says the nice things. They move on. We don't talk about the bad, only the good. And that's probably going to happen. So, yes, I think his number will be retired. He didn't win a championship, but got us to the finals, what, a couple times, and got to a championship round, to a conference finals round, missed a shot to give you a chance. But anyway, I think that's this thing's done, though. It is toast. I'm guessing everybody. But, hey, man, give the Heat some credit. Even though it's awkward, they're telling Spo, hey, Spo, we got to get more for him. So we know we're putting you in a really bad situation where you got to answer all the questions and you're getting frustrated. And I'm sure all your guys are, starting with Bam and Tyler. But, hey, man, thank you. Hang in there. We're just trying to get as much as we can for this organization going forward in the way of draft picks. They don't want Bradley Beal. Is that pretty obvious? I do agree.
Yeah, it's Bradley very Beal. Obvious. Yeah. Which is, and it's ironic because how many, over the last 5 years, how many times has Bradley Beal been linked to a possible trade to the Heat? But now, and now that it seems more attainable than ever, we don't want him.
No, because he can't play anymore. He's not very good. And he got years left on that max contract. Yeah, that's changed everything just a little bit. All right. Hey, listen, we got a lot more stuff to get to here before we call it a Thursday here. Appreciate Alex Donald with us, All Day Dan Day with us. The only thing that really bothers me, and Leroy brought this up too, man, Jimmy quit on those guys. He can say whatever, they're his guys and they're his boys and all that stuff, but you quit on them, man. You quit on them. And then you go, well, they just got to understand, man. I was out there, but yeah, I wasn't into it like I could have. But they understand I'm trying to get my money. Man, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, then times have changed, man. The times have changed because it's a really, really crappy look for Jimmy. Jimmy, you can spin it however you want. You got a couple more games to think about it, and I know you've checked out. And I know you're in Jimmy's world, which is a different world to a lot of other people. And by the way, you got people still defend you, Jimmy. It's amazing. Especially when you just don't. The effort thing, I'm sorry, man. You're affecting those guys. They're busting their ass, and you're standing in the corner like you're a 12-minute-a-night guy, and all of a sudden, all that playoff Jimmy stuff, you look like I checked out Jimmy right now. So anyway, this is God bless Pat. I'm glad Pat didn't give in. And people thought, oh, yeah, they're kind of trying to get Pat to apologize. What?
No.
Apologize for not wanting to give him an extension? Wanting him to play more games before you gave him the extension? Oh, man.
I just hope that, you know, Miami can get something reasonable in return. I know that that's what they're going for, Joe. Like, the reason why a trade has not already. Yes. Well, there are a couple reasons, because you can't just trade him for nothing, because in the NBA, the salaries and the deals, it has to match. But at the same time, I know the Heat are trying to get reasonable return. Like, their leverage is somewhat limited here because, you know, Jimmy's older, and there's only one team that he wants to go to, which affects your leverage, and obviously you want him off your team as soon as possible. But you've got to get the best deal, because a lot of the same people that are maybe, you know, ripping the Heat for why is he still on this team are not going to be happy if you trade him for a terrible return.
Right.
So they're trying to get something.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Knock their shelves for the future.
And yes, they want a couple of first round picks, which we've noticed here. A deal's been done and Phoenix has been able to pick those up. But also they need an expiring contract on somebody that's making a lot of money, right? To kind of match those dollars up, probably, that they just don't want to be on the hook for somebody's that's not playing real well, Bradley Beal, that is going to get paid here the next few years, a maximum amount of money. So it's taking time. Can you imagine that? I'd love to hear one of those talks between Spo and because Spo's got to be going, how long do I got to keep this guy?
Yeah.
Do you hear the questions I get after every friggin' game? We lose, and I got to hear even more. And now he's wearing friggin' Phoenix Suns tennis shoes, and he's checked out over on the side. We don't even care. There's no way you let him wear a Heat uniform again unless he takes one home. You do that guy. That locker should be cleaned out right now. That thing, right? They had to put somebody else's
name on
that.
Would not surprise me. Maybe it is cleaned out by now. Jimmy probably packed up his stuff, all the bags of coffee beans, whatever he has in his locker. He's already got that stuff out of there.
So anyway, boy, we've had some interesting stories here, haven't we? You look at the Tyreek Hill stuff and everything that's come out, and now everybody's opinion on what he needs as a receiver coach and the way the team should treat him going forward and whether you should trade him. I wouldn't trade him. He's too good. By the way, you just gave him a 3-year extension when you're giving out all that money.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys who grabbed in on that money along with Jalen and Tua. They got their money. So let's use him. Let's get an offense and bring him back. He's still your best receiver. He's still your best wide receiver. He just is. Perk's got an article today in the Sun Sentinel. We got to get more out of our high-paid guys. He's exactly right. We got to get more out of all of them. We pay big money. We pay our two wide receivers about as much as anybody in the league outside of maybe Philadelphia on two wide receivers on the outside and the quarterback. It's got to stay healthy. I don't mind him making his money. I get it. And we want him happy. But he can't miss six games. Can't miss six games. I love, too. It's not like he's getting hurt on purpose. You know, for anybody who wants, you can get on him, but. And you paid him the money. He's your guy. So now you got the backup quarterback becomes probably about as important as we've ever had in the history of this franchise to get a backup quarterback. I got to tell you, man, I got spoiled. We didn't even talk about this quarterback thing. Don Strock would come in for Clean Woodley messes up, and Danny went out the last three games of the regular season, was ready for the playoffs one year, and Strock, we didn't miss a beat. We beat everybody. He was in there, he's throwing it, and nothing changed. So it was great. Hey, we're out of time. Hey, Alex, I want to thank you, man. Really appreciate you coming in, and a lot of good stuff. By the way, I haven't yet Locked On Canes podcast. What you've done from where it started and where it is right now, man, you've just done a great job.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Oh, it helps that there's always something going on with the University of Miami. I mean, Carson Beck, the Xavier Lucas drama.
Pretty good stories, you know, there.
Great, great stories, man. And that's just in the past week.
I mean, yeah. How crazy is that? Yeah.
You know, the great season Cam Ward had, the disappointment of not making the ACC championship in the playoff. Good and bad, there's always something to talk about with the Canes.